series here called Prayer Mountain. I have a burden to pray for America. Interesting that General Flynn would come then, of all people. I'm going to be at the White House lawn, or the White House, I've been there too, the courthouse lawn, May the 2nd, for the National Day of Prayer this next week. That'll be a great time to pray for America. You know, I have my grandfather's Purple Heart from Okinawa. Okinawa and Iwo Jima were two of the bloodiest battles in American history in the Pacific. And it sort of reminds me of like the raising of the flag at Iwo Jima. You've seen that picture where they put the flag up. And that's what prayer feels like sometimes. Sometimes it just feels like you're in this battle and the achievement to summit the peak is an extraordinary thing. That's what happens when you receive an answer to prayer you've been praying for. It just feels like something extraordinary took place. So I want to go ahead and read James chapter 5, starting in the 10th verse. I want to read verse 10 and 11 and then pray, because I feel like the Lord's really got a word for you this morning. He said, "My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience." He said, "Indeed, we count them blessed to endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." Let's pray. Father, this morning we just thank you for that example. And I pray, Lord, in hearts and minds today that we would have resolve and focus and strength and understand the times that we're in, and that we would not succumb to the pressures of the enemy, but we'd be people of perseverance and endurance, focused on what needs to be done in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. Now, I had to laugh because last Sunday I was in the foyer talking to my friends Kevin and Amanda. And then passing somehow, she tells me, she's like, "You know, my mom's got like an acre of property and we need to get a riding lawnmower." And I thought, well, you can find them on Facebook. And, you know, I went home that day and my neighbor was in his driveway and he had this beautiful mower he was cleaning up. I said, "What you gonna do that?" He said, "I'm gonna sell it." I said, "Really, what do you want for it?" He's like, $100. I said, $100? That's a pretty good deal. So I said, "Hey, I think I might know someone for you." And, you know, I was laughing because I was preaching and I had just made the statement that I wished God would move quicker. And Kevin reminded me that that was pretty quick. That was a quick answer to prayer. I'll give you another example that happened to us. Man, it was maybe 6 weeks ago. And I had a guy walk in the door here, and he was frantic. He said, "Have you seen my dog, a stray dog?" And I had not seen the dog, but Daniel said, "I did see the dog maybe 5-10 minutes ago. There was a dog wandering through here." And so he was looking for it, and I said, "You know what? Let's pray." I grabbed his hand. We prayed. He came back about 5 minutes later. His face was glowing. He said, "It worked!" His dog had got into this warehouse behind us in the fence there, and he was in the area, and he was able to see him, and it was pretty amazing to see God answer a prayer so quickly. I like that. I wish that would happen all the time. Come on, somebody. But experience and the Bible have taught me that sometimes God moves slower than you want, and so you have to move, you have to be patient with him. We read the 11th verse, "We count them blessed to endure," and then he mentioned the perseverance of Job and said, "You've seen the end intended by the Lord." Now, some of us, you know, we like to measure prayer with our watches. We like those 5-minute answers. And if it hadn't happened in a few minutes, then we just throw up our hands and give up. But I'm here to tell you, you might have to switch over from a watch to a calendar. And I want to explain to you why endurance in prayer is so necessary. I want to kind of explain endurance in prayer. It's interesting that that James mentions Job. So I want you to keep a finger here. We'll come back to the book of James, but go over with me to Job chapter 2. And I'm going to teach you how endurance is like the critical component for all answered prayer. Why does answered prayer often take time? Why doesn't God just give us immediate answers to things? And I want to just walk through some explanations and teach you a little bit about that. Job chapter 2, verse 1. Did you find it? Say, if you got it, say, "I got it." Job 2. All right, he said, "Again." Someone say, "Again." I just want to remind you, this was the second time that old Slewfoot had been there to harass Job. Again, Satan came. There was a day when the sons of God, and we believe that these were angelic beings. That's the best thought that we have about this. The sons of God, the angels, had come to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came along with them to present himself before the Lord. This is such an interesting theological passage filled with complexities and theological intrigues. You know, we get this behind-the-scenes look into Job's life right here. And it presents us with some interesting theological concepts. Like, how is it that Satan had access with fallen angels before God and his throne? Does he still have that access today? And in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, it seems to indicate that Satan, who's called the accuser of the brethren, he's got a check note of all the stupid things that you did. And he can come, and he can kind of bring that before the Lord on the day of judgment. So there's this interesting thought where Satan appears to have access to God's throne, and he can use that to assault people. Now, in verse 2, the Lord said to Satan, "From where did you come?" And Satan said, "I've been going to and fro, wandering across the earth, back and forth." I want to remind you, 1 Peter 5, he's a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he may devour. He is watching you. And he's looking for an opportunity. That's what he was doing in Jesus' life. He's looking for an opportune moment, a moment of weakness, when he can jump in and see something. Verse 3, the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And he starts bragging up about him. He said, "Job is blameless. There's no one like him." God himself said that Job was an upright man who fears God, shuns evil, and that he holds fast to his integrity. "Although you, Satan, incited me against him to destroy him without a cause." Another theological mystery. Why was it that God posed the question? I don't have the answers to these things. I just think it's very interesting. And Satan answered the Lord, and he's like, "Do you want to bet? Let me have at him. We'll see how he does." In verse 6, the Lord said to Satan, "He's in your hand. Just spare his life." For whatever reason, God has given Satan some type of limited authority in the earth. And it says that Satan then went out from the presence of the Lord, struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. You know, I'm always intrigued when people ask, well, if God is so good and he's in control of all the world, why is it there's all these problems? And people who ask that very seldomly ever acknowledge the biblical concept that the devil is run around the world. No one seems to understand Satan's role in the world. And I like what Jesus said, John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief, the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And when you look at Job's life, that is explicitly what you see. You see that he went through a trial, that Satan was behind this trial. No one's ever been through a deeper trial than Job. I mean, he lost his business. His children were killed. He lost his health. And it all happened in a number of days. It happened so suddenly in his life. It's easy to blame God, but a lot of times the culprit is the devil himself. So it says in verse 8 that he took for himself a broken piece of clay with which to scrape himself when he sat in the midst of his ashes. Next time you've had a bad day, just think about Job. You just think about what he went through, and it might cheer you up a little bit, because probably you're not sitting with boils scraping yourself. Here's the first explanation I want to highlight for you about. Satan does not give up easily. If you want to talk about why you need to have endurance and prayer, it's because Satan is persistent. This was his second attempt, and this trial went on for quite a long time in Job's life. I mean, he is pushing and pushing and pushing. Daniel chapter 10, remember, he's praying, and he's praying towards Jerusalem, and we see that the angel Gabriel came after 21 days because he was withholding an answer that had come. Satan is persistent, and so you have to be persistent in recognizing his attacks. You got to be perceptive about it. When you recognize an attack of the devil, a lot of times it starts in your thought life, doesn't it? A little thought that you didn't think much about can put you into some of the weirdest moods you've been in. And you wonder why you're down, why you're in a funk, what's going on. And a lot of times what it is a thought that was planted there by the devil. You know, I had just ran into a pastor friend this last week. I was talking to him, and he said to me, he said, "We need to get together for lunch. I need to talk to you about something." So I was like, cool. You know, I went back to the office. I emailed him, told him when I was free. 3 days later, I got a phone call from the secretary. And she said, "He would like to meet with you on these." I was like, "Yeah, I know. I just told him that. I just talked to him." And I started thinking, why doesn't he just call me directly? You know, and then I started feeling a funny little mood. I was like, no, I'm not playing this game. I'm not going to think like I don't have an ego. It's okay. Just chill out, Jordan. I recognize the thought that was coming for me. You all know what I'm talking about. If you catch it, if you perceive it, if you can recognize a thought, it might save your mood swings. So you got to be persistent to recognize it, and then you have to be persistent to refuse his attacks. Once I refuse that attack, I'm not going to comply with it. I have to take a thought, and I have to cast it down. Thoughts come in all shapes and sizes, but you have to cast it down. It's sort of like refusing a package that Amazon delivered. Because you know my wife will order all kinds of things on Amazon? I don't know what it is, and sometimes I'm like, I don't want that. We just refuse the shipment, right? Has to go right back to Amazon. I'm teasing. That's what you got to do with the thoughts, man. You got to put that helmet of salvation on every day. You recognize it, you refuse it, and then you have to be persistent to resist his attack. That's like a stiff arm you give the devil. Any football fans in here? Yeah. Stiff arm that devil. Yeah. You know, that trial might go on for weeks. It might go on for days. It might go on for years and months. And, you know, this is where every day you got to say no to the devil. Say no, devil. Not today, Satan. You got to resist him like Jesus did, where you push back on him. You know, it's interesting. If you study scripture, you'll find Satan never resisted the authority of the scripture. He didn't question it. When Jesus is in the wilderness and Satan's tempting him, Jesus quotes the Bible, and what you see is that when Jesus said it is written, Satan flees. That's what you got to do. That is how you resist the devil. You give him a stiff arm right up in the face with a scripture verse. Recognize it, refuse it, resist it, but don't be deceived. The devil is sneaky. He's focused. He's been doing this for a long time, and he is actively searching for weak moments. He knows what to do in people to push them away. So this is the reason why sometimes you have to have endurance in prayer, is because Satan does not give up easily. He wants what he wants, and he's going to push for it. Now, here's the second explanation. I'm just teaching you how prayer works here. Look at Job 2, verse 9. His wife said to him, do you still hold fast your integrity? And her bit of advice to him was, why don't you just curse God and die? She identified that she thought God was behind the trial. She didn't get to look into the spirit world and see what was really taking place. Here's the thing that sticks out to me about this verse. Integrity is a secret to endurance. Your integrity is vital. Job, verse 3, he held fast his integrity in a trial. His character was crucial. And I'm here to tell you, if you want to see prayers answered, you have to be a person who has integrity and will not give up on something. You know that word integrity, which I'll be teaching on, because this is what I'm teaching to African pastors and places of the world I've been. We teach about integrity. Integrity means to be whole or complete. It's from the word integer, which is a whole number. Did anyone pay attention in school? Remember that? An integer is a whole number, and we had to do math with it. I don't remember that because I went to Laurel High School. We didn't learn a lot. But I do remember that. Someone with integrity is a whole person. So if you have integrity, it means you're a whole, you can be built upon. Integrity is so important. It holds up under pressure. Now, I am enjoying this weather. How many like the seasons and this green? Well, I love it, man. It's cool breezes. But do you remember a few years ago when it flooded everywhere? You remember we had, like, I went down to Duck Creek here, and water was everywhere. You remember that? It was kind of scary. I have a brother-in-law who's a train engineer, and he drives trains. Now, he was one of the last engineer trains to go across the bridge just before it collapsed at Reed Point. Remember that? And then they had all the coal floating down the river all last year. He was one of the last guys to get across that. A bridge that does not collapse has integrity. And if you have integrity in your life, you will not collapse. God, by his Holy Spirit, dwells on the inside of you, and he will never leave you in a trial. He will be with you. And I know when I've gone through some pressure moments, things that were uncomfortable, things that were frustrating, I sensed his presence and his comfort was there with me to help uphold me in a difficult moment. I'm grateful for that. Integrity is a guide. You know, Proverbs 11, verse 3, great verse of the Bible. The integrity of the upright will guide him. So the Lord will be there to encourage you, empower you. It's a still small voice that guides you, helps you determine right from wrong. That's called integrity. And when you're praying on something and you feel like you need to hold on to it because you feel like you've heard from the Lord and you know an answer can come, a person with integrity and perseverance knows how to hold on to God's promises in a trial. That's called integrity. Integrity is the ability to remain steadfast in that trial. Continuing to obey God's voice and obey his will for your life, even when you don't understand the why. When you don't know why you're going through what you're going through. Job's wife didn't know why. Sometimes you don't know why. You know, I was telling you about going to Africa this year. And I was with my friend Bishop Aluti. And, you know, he's been doing ministry for, I think, 40-some years. And so I had some alone moments with him because he's a dear friend. And I was asking the man, I said, did you ever go through moments, you know, in ministry when you felt like quitting? It was hard and frustrated. And he leaned back and he said, quitting, no, but questions. Lots and lots of questions. I had questions about everything. But then he said, one of the greatest nuggets I've heard, he said, if you can get through the seasons of questions in your life, you'll find on the other side of that is some of the most fruitful season you've ever been in. If you can endure through some of those difficult moments where you think, this is for the birds, I don't know why it's going on, I don't know what's happening, if you hold on to the Lord in those moments, that will bring you into fruitful times. So you got to hold on to your integrity. Let it be your guide. If you have nothing else in life but your integrity, you have more than many people in life. Integrity is vital. It's a guide that helps you, and it's what helps you hold on to the promises of God so you stay focused. Now, let me give you number three here. And I want to go back to the book of James. So we went from James to Job. Now we're back to James. James chapter 1. And you probably know the verse. James chapter 1, I want to highlight the third verse here. He said, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So the word we want to use here is the word testing. The testing of your faith is what produces endurance. The Greek word for patience here is the Greek word hypomone. And well, that means steadfastness, it means endurance, it means patience, it's translated in the King James. And I like what the writer of Hebrews said, Hebrews 10:36, you have need of endurance, because you're going to be tested. He said, after you've done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. If you want to receive God's promises, you understand something, you're going to be tested in life. Life will always present you with tests. You'll be tested as a student. You know, we test students to determine their aptitude. And, you know, the academic ability that you present is measured in tests. My wife's, you know, substitute teaching over at Canyon Creek School, and she was, like, nervous because next week is test week. And they get to test all the little kids. And at Laurel High School, I'd sit next to kids that would just write words in the blanks rather than answer the questions. But what they look for in tests is to see if a child's learning curve is at an upward trajectory. And it said, it really doesn't matter so much how high they score. What matters is over time, if that learning curve is going up. That's how you get tested. You're going to be tested in life sometimes like an athlete. You know, Pastor David, you got to be in here last week. I sure appreciate Pastor David. Yeah. You know, he's a guy who's been through some tests and has integrity. He told us that when he was in high school, he went to Billings Christian School, they had a coach who would make them run up 27th Street. You know that road to the airport? They would run up that, and they'd walk down it and run up it and walk down it. And David said they did that in the hottest part of the year. They did that in July and August and September, and he said he hated it. He wanted to quit. He thought it was the worst thing in the world. But then he said, we won a lot of soccer games doing that. Because the next coach that came in the next year, he took it a little easier. They didn't do any running, and they lost a lot of games. That testing, like an athlete, that testing, like a student, it's what helps you get through tests. You're going to be tested by various trials. That's what verse 2 here in James said. And Peter said the same thing. Don't think it's strange concerning fiery trials, which are to try you. Various tests. You may have to walk through an extended test in your life, but that trial has the potential to build your life, your ministry. It can build your home. You know, I'm in the third remodel of our home right now. And, you know, when you're working in a remodeling zone, it is uncomfortable. It's not the easiest thing. But this is the third one. And the previous remodels taught me that if I am just perseverance, a little bit here, a little there, if I do a little today and I keep doing, I stay on it, I'll get it done. I learned perseverance. I know it can be done. The ministry has tested me. It's tested me emotionally. I mean, the emotional toll is you got highs, you got lows. The ministry has tested me relationally with people. It's tested me financially. I've had to pray for things, believe God that he would come through in moments. And what I have discovered is that God is faithful. Man, he shows up. He helps you get through so many things. Marriage will test you. You just go get married. You'll end up in some various trials. Whether it's things on Amazon that were ordered, or dishes, or laundry, groceries, children, car. I mean, the list is endless. Yeah. But when marriage tests me, I found that the answer is to pray. Lord, if Elizabeth could just see what a wonderful husband I am, this whole thing could be averted. I have found that knowing how to pray, being persistent, when you got a problem, if you know how to pray for your spouse, if you know how to love them and pray and you're willing to focus on that, that is where answers come. And it comes from some of the trials. Testing produces something in you. It's called endurance. And in James chapter 1 and verse 4, what the scripture tells us is that that endurance matures you. Maturity is the fruit of endurance. And the thing about mature people is they know how to pray. I was that rebellious teenager. And I had no thoughts of like rededicating my life to the Lord. You know, and I remember my mother would pray. She spent a good 2 years praying for me, praying all the time. And she'd tell me she was praying, and she prayed, and she prayed, and she prayed, and she prayed, and the Lord got a hold of my heart. And I can only attribute that to maturity in prayer and knowing how to endure. And I'm sure grateful she did. It's taught me to pray for my children. It's taught me to hold on to the promises of God. It can be done. He always has an answer. The promises of God are yes and amen in him. Amen? If you're in a test, God will deliver you. And the result is that endurance where you learn not to quit. And the result will be answers in prayer. And when God comes through with an answer, when he answers those prayers, man, it is a wonderful, powerful thing. It sets you up. It excites you. But it does sometimes demand that you go through some tests and trials to produce endurance in your life. Now, I'm going back to where we begin, our fourth explanation here. James chapter 5, verse 11. We count them blessed to endure. Do you want to endure? Do you want to be blessed? James 5, 11. You've heard of the perseverance of Job. And then he talked about the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Here's the last thing I want to tell you about endurance. God's word is what produces endurance. To me, it's very interesting that James is quoting the book of Job. It's like he is looking back at the scripture as an example for where he could discover how to have endurance, how to go through a trial. I think about Romans 15, verse 4. Whatever things were written beforehand, were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. You know, when I'm in a trial, I'd like to dive into God's word. I find a scripture that fits my case. Maybe it's healing in your body, like Job, he's in a health trial. And I always think about certain scriptures coming to my mind. You know, I think about Exodus 15, verse 26. I am the Lord who heals you. I think about 1 Peter 2:24. By his stripes, I'm healed. I think about Matthew 8:17, that he's paid for my infirmities. And I think about those scriptures. Maybe it has to do with a financial trial. You know, the verse that comes to me, I walk around Walmart or Albertson's grocery shopping, and I think about inflation, and I'm reminded of what God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 12, verse 3, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. And I think about God being able to multiply my finances and my money and how he's a blessing. I mean, I just think about that. Or I think about my children. I'm praying for my kids. I think about Isaiah 54, verse 13, great shall be the peace of my children. I also think about that verse in Proverbs that says that you should spank your children. No. Spare the rod, spoil the child. That's why I tell them, I'm doing this because I love you. There's personal situations, trials that you might go through, right? And I found when I'm in a personal battle, something that's applicable only to me, the Lord will very often give me some. He might just whisper something that will encourage me. A lot of times, as I was saying last week, I'll hear a verse. A verse will come to my mind. Sometimes it happens when I'm doing daily devotions, a daily quiet time. I'm reading through there and I find a verse that jumps off the page and it speaks to me and I'm like, there is my answer. I got it right there. And I hold on to that. Or maybe it's someone in your life that can speak into your life, like my friend Mike Ware. He's given me some thoughts and scriptures and insights that have spoken to me. And I'm so grateful when I hear those things. It's the Lord's ability to help you get that scripture. I find a scripture and then I fight with the scripture. I got to take those words and I got to put them out of my mouth. Sometimes when I get frustrated and say something stupid, I turn around and I say the scripture out of my mouth. I pray the verses. That means I'm meditating on them. I'm praying and I'm thinking about it. I worship with those verses. I'm not a good singer. God knows that, but he doesn't care. And I take scriptures. I like what the 149th Psalm says, that the High praises of God is like a two-edged sword in my hand. I praise God for his promises. I might have to remind God of his promises. I remind the Lord of what he said, and when I'm doing that, I'm reminding myself of his faithfulness. And I like to do it even when I can't see it. That's what we were singing about this morning. When you don't know where you're at, he shows up, he's faithful, he works behind the scenes like he's doing in Job's life when you don't see it. As long as you hold on to those promises, when you find scriptures, when you fight with scriptures, what happens is your faith comes from scriptures. Because Jesus is the Word made flesh. Think about that. I mean, he is the Son of God breathed into human form. Faith is clinging to that promise. It's speaking that promise for as long as it takes to win the victory. Think about the men in the Bible that went through difficult things but had endurance, like Abraham, who held on to the promise of God for 25 years. I think about Joseph, had a dream. If you do the math in his life, it was like 27 years before the dream of his brothers bowing down actually was fulfilled. Or you could think about David and the promise to be the king and how he went through almost 20 some odd years of him being chased and running around before he fully stepped into what God had called him to do. You think about the prophets that we just read about in James 5:10. Think about the prophets. And then the Lord reminded us in verse 11 here. You've seen the end intended by the Lord, that he is very compassionate and merciful. This is why you got to have endurance. Because God is compassionate and merciful. And this is why I love to pray for America. Because America needs the mercy of God. I'm telling you, the greatest thing about God is this is what he specializes in. He specializes in mercy. Micah 7:18 tells us that he delights in mercy. And I'm telling you, America is ripe for God's mercy. It may look hopeless. It may look frustrating. You might think, what is going on with our culture? You can see that we're living in a time of, like the Bible says, like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, like the days of Lot, like the days of Noah. But I'm telling you, that God specializes in mercy. I love that verse. What I've discovered about praying for America is that there are no political solutions to this problem. These are spiritual solutions. Now, when General Flynn called me, the team called me, they want to be in churches because they feel like that's the best hope for America. And, you know, he's specifically asking for that because he's like, you know, wants to see God move in the nation. And the only way to fix those problems is for the church to be vocal, for God to move. And listen, God can do that. We need a spiritual awakening in America. This is why you need endurance, man. It's like the days we live in. It just feels like it's so much pressure on your soul. You ever notice that? It feels like times we live in, man, there can be so much pressure financially, with perversion, with deception, violence. I mean, these things can create pressure. Maybe you're in a trial. Maybe you're waiting for God to answer your prayer. And I want to encourage you to take that watch off. Get out your Bible and your calendar and pray. I'm reminded of what the writer of Hebrews said. You have need of endurance. How many feel like you could do a little more with endurance? You have need of endurance. See, Satan doesn't get up easy. And you got to be prepared for it, which means you got to know how to identify and recognize those thoughts, resist them, refuse them. He's not going to give up easy on things. You know, he's programming you to throw the towel in early. You seen how, like, the government, I think, they're making TikTok illegal. Did you see that, TikTok? You know, it's invented by the Chinese. It's a Chinese company. And the intelligence report was that the Chinese invented TikTok to try to get young people distracted. Because all they do is flip through one thing for 30 seconds, the next thing for 30 seconds, and they just go through there. And it ruins people's focus. It's a weapon. It's a tactic to destroy people's ability to focus and endure through things. That's why you got to be wise to the times. People can spend hours scrolling through social media, but if you read the Bible for 10 or 15 minutes, you get bored. But you have need of endurance. And I'm just telling you, Satan, he's sneaky. He's trying to push you out of your spot. You got to have endurance. Now, what you really need is grit. The ability to just kind of like say, I'm not putting up, I'm focused on what God has asked me. I'm praying. I'm holding on. Where would you be if your mother hadn't been praying for you? Where would you be if people hadn't believed in you and you hadn't made right decisions? Think about that. You need endurance. And you need integrity. Your integrity is crucial. You got to hold on to it. Your personal integrity matters. It is the secret to endurance, and integrity, like Job had, is what keeps you in a trial. It will help you get your prayers answered. Because when you're doing that, what you do is you keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And the Bible says if you keep doing that, the door will be open. Isn't that right? That's endurance. You keep it up. And you say, I'm not going to be held back. And integrity holds that. Breakthrough is on the other side of the things you've been praying for. If you will endure. Endurance. I want to pray for you. Because I feel like you need the grace of God to endure this morning. Father, I just thank you today. Great grace and the ability to endure and stay focused. Yeah, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I want to pray for my friend Jeff over here. Yeah, I want to pray for endurance and encouragement to you. So I pray, put a hand over here towards Jeffrey. Yeah, he's on this side of the room. He surprised me. I'm like, who is that? It's Jeffrey. His real name is Jeff, but I call him Jeffrey. All right. Father, I just thank you for this man of God. And I thank you, Lord. He's going to have endurance and focus and perseverance and grit and resolve. And I thank you, Lord, that he's going to, there's a verse about King Saul, and he became like a new man. And I feel like you're about to become a new man, Jeff, a new man in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that discipline and strength in his heart and his mind. Lord, I thank you for helping him endure and stay focused in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. Goodness and mercy. I just pray, Lord, that you'd help. You know what I feel like? I feel like there's some of you sitting out there, and the problem that you've had is that you have not recognized that the devil is the one behind the opposition. You think it's society. You think it's your parents. You think it's, you know, the boss at your job. It's the devil. And what happens with people, they don't know how to take authority over it because they haven't recognized it's a demonic attack. Now, I'm preaching to the choir because a lot of times I am slow to acknowledge or accept, hey, this is a demonic attack. I might chalk it up or something, but I'm telling you, there's moments when God will show you it's a spirit. And that is where you start pushing back. So I want to pray that in Jesus' name. I want to pray over your mind. Yeah. I want to pray over Jason, over your mind in Jesus' name. Father, I just thank you. Lord, I pray for a helmet of salvation over people. I pray for a spirit of wisdom and discernment to perceive the attacks of the devil, lies of the devil. I pray that in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, right now, someone right now is thinking about something they're going through, and I'm telling you, it's a demonic attack, and you got to know how to cast it down. You got to know how to take that thought and say, oh, not today. Don't let him push you around. He is persistent and sneaky, and he loves to lie to you. That's how you know it's him. He likes to put you in a bad mood and feel insecure. That is the devil. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Father, I just thank you for helping us see and perceive truth in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, I tell you, I'm grateful to see Paul and Robin here. He put on Facebook that his friend Moose died unexpectedly. I asked about Moose this morning. And this last week, I had something similar happen. I had a friend die unexpectedly. It was like shocking. You know, when people die suddenly, it's like situations are kind of, you don't know what to think. How did that happen? And I'm just here to tell you, tomorrow is promised to nobody. It's not promised to anybody. And you got to have your heart prepared to meet the Lord every day. And if your heart's not right, if your heart is not prepared, you could walk out of the room and you could be killed on the freeway over here. That would be the first time that's happened. You want to make sure that your heart is right with the Lord, because it can happen any moment to anybody. So I want to take a moment. Just make sure that your heart is right with every head bowed, every eye closed. If you can't say, I'm right with the Lord right now, I could die on my way out of here. And I know I'd be with the Lord. If you cannot say that, I want you to put a hand up. And I want to pray with you. Yeah, I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Yeah, I see it back there. So pray this with me. If you're sincere, pray it. Say, Father, I repent of my sin, and I ask you to comfort me with the Holy Spirit and cleanse my conscience so that I know I'm right with you. In Jesus' name, I want to turn from sin, and I want to walk with you. in Jesus' name. Now, I pray over you right now. I pray, Lord, for a spirit of comfort to be with them. I pray no fear. I thank you for the blood bought that we can leave here today and we know that we're safe. We know that we've put our faith in you. And I thank you for leading us and guiding us in green pastures in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Well, I felt the Spirit of the Lord in here today, amen. Yeah, I just want to encourage you to stick with the Lord, right? In times like this, these are difficult times. We're living in the end times and the weight of it is real. And you have to be a people that know how to push back on the devil. Why don't you stand up with me this morning? I got a busy night, so let me just go over this thing with General Flynn again. He'll be here tonight for a live question and answer after the movie. The doors open at 5. Like I said, so far it's about 200 seats sold. I expect more. You can buy them at the door. And so I would get here earlier if you want to get a better seat. But it'll be a fun night, and then he'll, you know, give his testimony, answer questions. It's such a unique moment. And hopefully, you know, you can join us for that. So we love you very much. And I will see you all next week. If you want prayer, these altars are open, by the way. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to pray. If you're going through a trial, if you're going through something that is difficult and you feel like you don't have the endurance to hang in there, we will pray with you today. Amen? Amen. Love you very much. I'll catch you all next week.